Hello and welcome to season 2 of Easy Being Green Lessons in Sustainable Business. I'm your host, Charlie, and have I got a series of inspiring, insightful and informative conversations for you. This season, I have had the absolute pleasure of talking to passionate, smart people from the worlds of marketing, regenerative farming, carbon offsetting, social impact apps, angel investing, and so much more. But today we are kicking off with a bang. The first conversation of this season is with Stefan Zarai, head of product for the impact platform at Ocean Bottle. On the face of it, Ocean Bottle makes reusable water bottles from ocean-bound plastic. But behind the scenes, as I came to learn from my conversation with Stefan, the impact of this company extends so much further than simply addressing the very big issue of plastic waste. In this conversation, Stefan and I discuss what it means to be an impact brand or an impact-led business, what businesses can do to drive 360 impact and transform themselves into purpose-led organizations, and how Stefan transitioned himself from working in finance tech to being a protagonist in his own story of transformation. Stefan also introduced me to a beautiful quote from Shoghi Effendi, which says, "You cannot segregate the human heart from its environment." And I think that feeling really comes across in the way Stefan talks in this conversation. So welcome back, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Stefan, welcome to the Easy Being Green podcast. I'm so, so excited for our conversation today.
Hi, Charlie. So excited to be here with you as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So let's get right into it. Your title is Head of Product for the Impact Platform of Ocean Bottle. Now, I'm sure a lot of our readers have heard about Ocean Bottle, but can you break that down to us? Who is Ocean Bottle? What challenge or challenges are you addressing with the business? And specifically, what is your role there? Three questions there in one.
Amazing, all packed. I like this. I'm gonna try to remember these questions as I go through the answer, but very simple. So Ocean Bottle was founded in 2019. The goal really and the premise of Ocean Bottle was always to kind of look at how can we create a business that does good and that essentially helps have a positive impact on the environment. And our founders, Will and Nick, they both met at London Business School, and the idea came to them around through their connection to the ocean to kind of look at how can we solve the problem of plastic pollution in the ocean, and how can we solve the problem as well for coastal communities that are being touched so much by this issue in the global south. And so then they start kind of thinking a little bit about how do we actually solve that problem tangibly? How do we get as many people involved in that? And they looked at one category, which made complete sense, which is the category of the reusable bottle space. Very crowded space, of course, but there was no reusable really that was essentially kind of looking at creating an impact beyond its use, right? And so Ocean Bottle was really the symbol of this, driving that behavioral change, moving away from single-use plastic, but at the same time creating impact in the global south, which was absolutely the objective of Nick and Will. And so the way Ocean Bottle does that is through the sale of every reusable bottle, Ocean Bottle, we collect 11.4 kilograms of ocean-bound plastic in various areas in the global south, which are where essentially the plastic pollution is at its worst. And essentially through the collection of this plastic, also enable coastal communities to get an income through the collection of plastic, through investing in waste management infrastructure as well locally, and kind of working with these communities to kind of develop further the systems, et cetera, et cetera. So very, very exciting, of course. And the reason why we're focusing really on ocean-bound plastic and the problem of plastic pollution is because today we've got a big plastic problem, and it's mostly essentially a human problem where there's like overconsumption of plastic, and unfortunately that plastic, you know, is not disposed in those best way. In some areas, for example, they don't benefit from waste management infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And what happens is today, I mean, very dire stats, Charlie. Sorry to bring that, but you know, about a truckload of plastic flows into the ocean every minute, which is really massive. You know, we're expecting that by 2040, you know, the the plastic production will quadruple as well, which is really massive. So we need to find ways to really solve this problem now, urgently, and restore the ocean. And if we don't do this, you know, that can lead to, you know, of course, you know, really, really bad consequences. But we are a positive company, and what we're really passionate is how do we bring as many people, you know, in that mission. And so our mission is by 2025 to collect 7 billion plastic bottles equivalent in weight, which is the equivalent of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is this massive island in the Pacific only made of plastic. So we're really kind of looking at collecting this amount of plastic, but we can't do this alone. So my role at Ocean Bottle is essentially looking at this. How do we, through our experience at Ocean Bottle, through building a brand that is impact-led and as well, creating impact through the sale of their product, how do we help other organizations tap into that infrastructure? So as head of platform here at Ocean Bottle, I've been working, you know, behind the scenes on a proposition called Ocean Co., which is essentially our proposition to bring about a network of brands, organizations around the world that work to collect plastic through our infrastructure. And what that means is that they can embed plastic collection through their products, through their services, through their experiences, exactly as Ocean Bottle has done, and benefit of the back of this from all the traceability and storytelling content from the ground that shows actually that the impact is being made, and relates this to essentially their community, their consumers, their customers that have been paying for their product, et cetera, et cetera. So we are basically releasing our secret ingredients from Ocean Bottle to the world. And we're hoping that we can invite as many organizations to essentially come and support us in that journey.
That is absolutely amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about how other businesses can get involved in that platform? Like what do they have to do? And yeah, a bit more about like how it all works.
Thanks, Charlie. So essentially the way we've built the platform is very plug and play. So we've already built a network where we've partnered with organizations in the ground across, you know, the three continents that have the worst effects of plastic pollution, essentially South America, Africa, and Southeast Asia. We're working at the moment on 8 countries. We're always looking to increase our reach, of course. So that infrastructure is already built, right? So what we're offering now to organizations is essentially access to that infrastructure. And how does it work? They can sign up through Ocean Co. They can integrate essentially plastic collection through, for example, APIs directly. You know, if they have a tech team, they can implement that directly into their product, and the traceability and the storytelling of the back of this, embed these into their experiences. You know, they've got a mobile app, for example, and they want to embed this as a way to encourage and incentivize certain actions as well, using impact incentives. You know, that's something that we're seeing as well, lots of organizations doing. Some of them are doing this with us, which is very exciting. Or it can be also in physical experiences, right? Like, so let's say a clothing brand or you know, an art gallery or a museum that really want their visitors or their customers, you know, in the real world to make an impact and create that impact really tangibly, you know, and in real time. So we're offering these opportunities. We've got a bunch of tools that are available. And to sign up, it's very simple. You just need to go on our website and sign up. And there are those different, let's say, avenues that are available to any of those organizations. So really, it's a blue ocean. I'm going to use a pun, sorry, but it's a blue ocean. Any organizations that they can think about a customer interaction or an interaction they want to enhance with impact, yeah, it's possible. It's completely possible, as long as they want to, of course, you know, mobilize their community, give them the traceability information, give them the content, you know, engage them further. And that's also something that we're seeing, right? I'm taking a slight tangent here, but, yeah, you know, when a lot of organizations are offering already this type of impact, but what unfortunately does not happen is that follow-up, right? Like what happened to my contribution when I bought this product, you know, like where did it go? Did you verify that the impact was created? What happened once the plastic is collected? Who benefited from that? So, you know, this is something that we're really trying to put to the world to kind of help people connect better with the impact they're creating through the brands that they love, that they buy from, and really kind of foster that relationship that for us we feel is the most authentic. It's I want to support a brand that shows that, you know, they're walking the talk, they're doing what they say they're doing, and at the same time they're involving me in this. They're letting me claim that impact. through them, and that's what we're trying to achieve at OceanCo.
That's amazing. So you mentioned impact a lot there, and do you think that's what you said there about, you know, almost like the full story, the full cycle of action from, you know, the action from the consumer or the end user or the client, all the way through to what happens at the end of that story? Do you think that is kind of the recipe for what it means to be an impact brand or an impact-led business?
I love that question, and thank you for calling me out on impact. I do say that quite a lot. I
need to, no.
And it is important, I think, to make sure that, you know, for every company, impact will be different, the definition of it. So I think from the get-go, it's really about understanding what does this mean for me as a business, or for me as someone that is in a role of, you know, in a marketing role or product role, whatever role it is, you know, impact. And I think it starts really from there. And, you know, oftentimes I also think about impact and purpose together. Because I think that actually purpose is what drives impact, essentially, right? If your purpose is really genuine. So to me, I mean, you alluded to it very well. I think, you know, an impact-led business or purpose-led business is really thinking about purpose or impact as the orientation of everything that they do. They put that at the core of everything that they do. And, you know, the organizations take shape because the orientation is impact. Its purpose, the way you sell the product, the build the product also takes shape because, you know, of putting at the core of your business this purpose. So everything, in any case, it's essentially cascading into every part of the business. So it's completely integrated. And I think this is, to me, what a truly, let's say, impact-led brand should aspire to. It's looking at, okay, I'm going to put impact and purpose at the middle of everything that I do, and then I'm going to look at How does that take shape? I'm not gonna force it. You don't need to force it, but, you know, things it will influence eventually, you know, the way you talk about things, the way you hire, the way you advertise, the way you consume, you buy, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's what I'm really kind of thinking about when I think about purpose-led businesses. And then after it was so Charlie, there's this other, let's say, dichotomy of a lot of organizations thinking about purpose, profit, you know, what should come first. If we go towards profit, you know, we can't have a purpose, etc. And I would really encourage companies to really kind of rethink as well this question of purpose and impact, because it doesn't need to be that big massive thing, right? It's stages, and it's something you can strive for. And of course, purpose can coexist with profits, and that's what we do at Ocean Bottle and OceanCo. You've got great companies doing this, like Patagonia, one person for the planet. At OceanCo, Ocean Bottle, we do, you know, minimum 15% of our revenue that goes towards impact, you know, like, so it is possible, but you need to put purpose, impact, as the orientation of everything that you do internally.
Oh, I totally agree. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to steal a quote from Victoria Hirth at the Cambridge Institute for Sustainability Leadership, when she says that purpose and profit are intrinsically linked. If you lead with purpose, profit will naturally follow. You just can't go wrong. If
absolutely.
And that's where big brands make the mistake of trying to tag purpose or tag sustainability an afterthought, because we should do it, because this is where the world's going. It just falls apart. And that's where you get greenwashing and they get called out.
Love that quote. I might steal it as well, Charlie. Thank you.
You can have that one. Thanks, Victoria. So thinking about impact, and actually a really nice segue to my next question, which is about how businesses show their impact. I'm going to say impact all the time now. You're going to notice it.
Excellent.
And one way is carbon offsetting. That's been quite a trend over the last few years, is to offset carbon, to kind of address that issue of carbon emissions impacting on climate change. So do you think that Ocean Bottle, what's happening at Ocean Bottle with the plastic waste, could replace that? Or do you think that's something that could work alongside carbon offsetting and other types of ingredients, shall we say, in impact strategies to help business address both climate change and plastic wake, and with what Ocean Bottle is doing socially, also addressing that people part of people, planet, profit?
Yeah, absolutely. That's an interesting question. I think first things first, I think at Ocean Bottle, we've got this, offsetting or the word offset is something that we've thought a lot about, and we don't really like necessarily. It's really kind of like really the minimum of what anyone can do. And so for us, it's not essentially a strategy, or it's not necessarily an activity that we want to promote. Mm-hmm. Although I think what we've seen in the carbon space, it's what has been fantastic is to see kind of some organization, wanting to kind of provide opportunities for others to kind of take that first step into sustainability through carbon credits, etc. This is really, really great, but the problem arises when it becomes the end. That's it. I bought my carbon credits, I've offset it, that's it. I don't need to change anything. And so for us, not at all. Actually, we're completely against that, against that mentality. And so everything that we stand for really, and the way we're really thinking about this new movement, right? And it can be across plastic, it can be carbon as well, but it's about thinking, how can we deploy solutions that help organization and brand grow their capacity to be more impactful? And to grow capacity to be more impactful, of course, they need to start somewhere, but then they need to carry on doing this. So, changing their supply chain, changing the packaging, the way they're communicating, etc. And that's really, really hard. And so that's why for us, I'm passionate about the word offset and offsetting. It's really important to really, go beyond and transcend that idea that, offsets is enough. And so for us at Ocean Bottle and Ocean Co., the way we've been thinking about this is, plastic collection essentially is an output of the activities or what you can do through Ocean Bottle and Ocean Co. But beyond that comes all the educational aspect of things about explaining where the plastic has been collected, why it's been collected, and then I think everything related to people, right, as well, like the people that coastal communities that are being kind of helped throughout this process. So really, we can see really like a coexistence between definitely those different industries, like in the carbon and the plastic space, et cetera. And really, we're hoping to see more organization in the space to come up and kind of bring solutions to the market. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, we can just look at, Ocean Bottle, we really kind of be a spark for brands to kind of start changing the mm-hmm. ways they think, the ways they operate, the ways they communicate, etc. That's really kind of our vision, essentially. Like that would become like that little spark, that first step that you take with us, but then we can accompany you throughout your transformation as well as a business. Because we have to call it this way, right? It's a completely, it's a transformation process, right? That needs to happen at this stage. So hopefully I've answered the question. But yes, that's kind of definitely can coexist with like other tools that are changing and helping companies have an impact, as long as it's solutions that go beyond that offsetting, let's say, element.
Absolutely, and it comes back to that impact and purpose at the heart of everything, doesn't it? If you're just trying to tick a box with offsetting, or even tick a box with Ocean Bottle, that's absolutely not going to drive the impact.
Absolutely, exactly.
That you want, so absolutely.
It's tough, like I think we have to keep it real. I think, on your podcast you talk about this a lot, right? But like keeping it real that it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to be transformed overnight. Organizations are composed of individuals, and those individuals need to be transformed as well. So it needs to happen both at organization level, at a high level, but it's happen as well into every person, right? Like, what can I do? Can I be a protagonist in this change? And I think that's also, I mean, lies maybe another subject for another podcast, but lies also like the, can I myself, a person in one organization that is so big, can I actually affect change? I really believe so, but it's hard. But so it's how we encourage it as much as possible. And through our work, that's what we're trying to do. That's why the connection to the impact is important, that it's as individualized and personalized as possible, so that someone can feel like, I've done this, my action, my choices have made this through my choices, right? And my choices are good because my choices facilitated that impact, etc. So yeah, very, very important.
Absolutely love that. Absolutely love that. And it's so right. And I think we always get, there is the risk when you, and I've been there myself, of getting so overwhelmed with the task ahead that you start going, well, what difference can I make? And I've had this conversation with so many people as well. And to bring them back to thinking that actually you make a difference, that your difference is can be exponential because of the ripple effect of the actions that you take, because of the people that you speak to. You know, if you change one person's mind or like help one person to find their power in this whole journey, that's a win, you know. So I think that's what you say there is, you know, just believe that you can make a difference because you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. So on that, I know when we speak about the human impact of ocean bottle and like the coastal communities, I know that you've told me previously, it's not just about the immediate employment, as it were, of the plastic waste collection. The impact actually goes much further than that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is really, really important. Thank you so much for highlighting this. So as I mentioned earlier, we're collecting plastic, we're facilitating that plastic collection. We work with three amazing partners in the Global South, actually supporting us on this across 330 sites. And we've so far helped around 6,500 communities, which is really, really important, right? So really when, you know, the plastic collection, this is really like a symbol of what happens. It's the gateway to what happens next, right? What we're really interested is, you know, not only plastic gets collected, but it has an effect on two, let's say, entities. One is the environment, right? Like supporting kind of biodiversity, trying to remove as much as possible, you know, plastic that is going to be washed into the ocean, right? Preventing that in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, it's the people aspect that you just mentioned, Charlie. And we're super passionate about this, right? Like the partners that we work with, you know, through kind of the plastic collection process and the funding that we provide with our brands, with our network, that creates jobs in local communities that we work with. That creates, you know, an opportunity to set up a system where there's not necessarily a waste management infrastructure in place, no formal waste management infrastructure in place. That provides opportunity for them as well as they exchange plastic, you know, access to an income, which might be difficult, you know, there to have, you know, on a sustained basis and a consistent basis. That provides them with access to education, access to services that others might have access very, very easily. For example, some of our partners in one city, for example, Vizag, I think it's in India, we have our partners kind of also supporting plastic collectors with providing them with, you know, identity, because they don't have the papers, you know, to have their identity card, for example. And this is something really important. Without it, you can't access, you know, further services, etc. So the work that we do, it's really important. And the reason why we're focusing on ocean-bound plastic, ocean that is about to be washed into the ocean, is because it gives an opportunity for people as well to be involved in that, to kind of be supported. It's a completely circular, you know, system that we've built in partnership with our partners, and we're very proud of this. And the results, you know, are really fantastic. You know, some collection sites will have, you know, a focus on specific themes, you know, gender diversity, education. The plastic that gets collected as well can sometimes be, you know, upcycled, recycled into products that, you know, further the development of coastal communities, for example. Like, you know, it can be changed into eco bricks to build housing, or also like desks, for example, for schools. So really kind of that's also the great thing about this mission is plastic collected is the output, but the outcome, what we're working toward, is essentially restoring the ocean, but also supporting coastal communities through this kind of project. Very, very exciting.
Fantastic. Thank you for explaining that. So I want to come back to you a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about Stefan. What is it that drives you to do what you do? I know, scary, right? What is it that drives you to do what you do? You know, how did you get to this point in your life where you clearly are incredibly passionate about what you're doing at the moment? Like, what got you to here? And now you're here, what gets you out of bed in the morning to keep going?
Yeah. Wow, that's, I love this question. I love this question and this conversation. It's, you know, I think I've been living in London for the past 10, 11 years. I mean, London has given me so much, right? To kind of like exposure to so many different things. But it's also giving me a window into kind of, you know, like let's say like difficulties or complexity of living, you know, in a cosmopolitan city, or also like in a world where, you know, there's a lot of individualism, maybe a lot of materialism, a lack of connection, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, you know, gradually I felt that strongly, you know, in my life, as I kind of started my career and then, you know, developed. And what I really wanted to do was to find an opportunity to integrate the way I see the world and you know, like having the opportunity to connect with the world into kind of the work that I do every day. And when Ocean Bottle came knocking at the door, you know, I was working in finance and in the tech space. And I was like, why would Ocean Bottle want someone that is, you know, in the tech space? You know, like it doesn't make sense, but, you know, it opened my eyes about, we can all be protagonists. We can all be protagonists in this kind of transformation around us. We need more people to kind of, you know, take that step and really kind of like put in effect, you know, their capacity, their skills to kind of change things and help, you know, us become more sustainable, etc. So really, that journey was really interesting for me, because it was like, it's possible, it's completely possible to integrate, you know, my life with my values, with my work, etc. That's how I got there. And I'm so excited, you know, that's why it gives me so much hope. And so what gets me out of bed, you know, every morning is really this opportunity to express my desire to achieve that vision, you know, through my work. Mm-hmm. And that vision of a world where we're completely connected to the environment, completely connected to people through everything that we do, right? I don't believe that we can segregate our kind of heart from the environment. And this is a quote from Shoghi Effendi around kind of, you cannot segregate the human heart from its environment. So It's, how do we make that happen? You know, we make that happen by, you know, bringing change. And that's what really gets me out of everything in the morning, out of bed in the morning, sorry.
I love that. That's what a beautiful quote. Oh my gosh, 100%. And it doesn't it make a difference to your day when that's what you're working on every day?
Thank you. And it's also very hard. And I think also it's really important. Like I'm not, you know, it's hard. We've got news, we've got things yes. coming up. You know, we live in London, we've got problems, etc. But this is life. This is, it's cycles of, you know, growth, cycles of sometimes, you know, things go down. But that's okay, as long as we are there to kind of support, provide accompaniment, collaborate, et cetera. And, you know, for businesses to also think about this, like, how can I collaborate with other organizations that are doing maybe something better than I, or have expertise? Yeah, do that, take the plunge. You know, it's fantastic to be able to kind of collaborate with those organizations. And for anyone that is there kind of thinking, what can I do myself? Where, you know, there's just so many things around available. And it's really important to kind of take the step, you know, get the courage to get in. And also that's a machine for hope, you know, for positivity. The more you are working in something that is looking at the horizon and a vision of like more, you know, connected, you know, environments, etc., the more hope you build as well for yourself and confidence and certitude. And that's really important.
I agree. So I've got one more question for you, and it's the last question we ask all of our guests on this podcast, which is, do you think there is such a thing as a truly sustainable business yet?
I've listened to your podcasts, and I've listened to amazing answers. and I was thinking, oh, should I be controversial or not? Should I think a truly sustainable business, I would love to deepen what it means. You know, what does it mean to be a truly sustainable business? But I think that there might be places in the world, we don't know, because they don't advertise themselves. Mm-hmm. And they are actually already sustainable. You know, I'm mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, some communities, you know, in South America, Africa, Southeast Asia. And the reason why I'm thinking about those is because they didn't have to go through maybe this this disconnect with the environment, this mm-hmm. disconnect with the world, where there's, you know, there's, they don't have that the prime of materialism or mm-hmm. individualism in their life, right? And so I think there might be businesses that are truly sustainable, but here, you know, like around us, London, the UK, etc. I think maybe they are. I don't want to say that they're not, but maybe, you know, if they've done it, I'd love to kind of talk to them for sure. But I think, you know, like looking at becoming a truly sustainable business, that should be an aspiration, something that we strive for. And we shouldn't feel that, as we were talking earlier, that checklist, you know, overnight success, etc., will happen. It has to be a transformation. It will take years, maybe a decade, to kind of truly become a sustainable society and sustainable business. And as I mentioned as well earlier, transformation needs to happen as well at an individual level for it to have an effect on at an organizational level. Mm-hmm. Because it's really, really hard if, you know, a business cannot be truly sustainable if people within that are not themselves, right? Or are confronted mm-hmm. to like really big challenges that, you know, make them not sustainable. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, it's my desire that we see more truly sustainable businesses. It's my desire as well. I think that more organizations think about it. Like, what does it mean for us to be truly sustainable, and how do we work backwards? You know, like, what are the different stages to get there? And then just to start. You know, at Ocean Bottle, we have this really cool motto. I love that, which is I mean, it's sort of like practice, you know, not perfection, you know, like this type of motto. Now I completely forgot it, but it's really about inspiring progress, yes, and not perfection. Like, this is going to be a marathon, and we need to be cool about it, and we need to be kind about it, because not everyone will be able to get there very quickly, or, you know, they'll have difficulties, etc. But that's accompanying those organizations will be very important. And I can see a lot of space and opportunities for more businesses, startups, propositions to be developed to help organizations take that step and then kind of carry on and become more consistent. So yeah, so hopefully, you know, Charlie, we'll see more truly sustainable businesses, right, in the next 5 to 10 years.
Let's hope so. My gosh, I think your answer might be my favorite, because it's just really, it's identified a bias in all of the conversations that I've had on this podcast, which is that what we picture as a business. And you're so right. There are probably around the world in small communities, businesses where people are selling their wares or selling their what they've farmed, that actually have the capability to be truly sustainable in a way. I mean, we always say, you know, the biggest difficulty about being a truly sustainable business is energy and where our energy comes from.
Yeah.
Who knows who's out there who are doing things completely differently to what we're doing in our little, like you say, London bubble, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, Charlie, you can bring them, you can maybe travel and have a podcast with those communities. That'd be great.
You're giving me ideas now. I like that.
Yes. Planet. I'd love to come as a guest as well. That'd be a really fun tour.
I'll hold you to that. How good would that be? Oh, that's a brilliant place to end our conversation today, Stefan. You are clearly passionate about what you do. You're fantastic to listen to. I've loved having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for your time.
Charlie, thank you so much. And looking forward to discovering more with you. Thank you.
So much for listening to today's conversation with Stefan from Ocean Bottle. I hope you found it really interesting and insightful. If you did like this episode, and I hope you did, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe or follow this podcast on your favorite podcast app. And I'd be even more grateful for your 5-star review, which helps other people just like you to find these conversations. The transcript of this episode can be found at easybeinggreenpodcast.com, where there will also be all the links to Ocean Bottle and anything else that we've mentioned in this episode that you might find interesting. They will also be in the show notes of this episode as well. If you'd like to get in touch with me about this episode, or if you have ideas for a future one, you can do that by following at the Easy Being Green podcast on Instagram and dropping me sliding into my DMs. I hope you can join me next week when I'll be chatting with the fabulous Polly and Nat from the Typeface group to understand how we can all work to reduce our marketing waste. Until then, stay collected and don't forget to keep it green.